Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, I love that song. Love that song.
It means something to us, right?
And the simulcast is rolling. Take all the stations, Papa.
Every last one of them.
If you didn't like our show on one station, now we're on two. Like
you gotta
right
love
now.
Us now, though.
Right now.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
if you didn't
yeah.
like the first hour and you were only listening on one station, listen to this hour on a different station. You'll like it. It's better.
Fall in the line. Let's fall in the line.
We're going to start the simulcast with Rob Pizzola, who's a professional sports gambler. But before we get to him, let's get some quick headlines from Alejandro Solana.
The Marlins will look to avoid getting swept or at least try to score more than one run today at Marlins Park. That game is actually going to begin in about 4 minutes. First pitch is at 3:05.
They have been outscored the last two games against the Dodgers, 24-2.
It's gonna swing.
I don't know. What else?
3:05 start. Dale.
Okay. Dale.
Tomorrow the Dolphins will play their second preseason game versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Kickoff is at 7:30 in Tampa Bay. Boogie Cousins sustained a knee injury in practice today. Multiple reports are confirming he suffered a torn ACL.
That is a bummer.
ESPN projects the Heat will be the sixth seed in the Eastern Conference this season, finishing with 43 wins on the year.
Okay.
And finally, in an episode of his podcast titled Hot Boxing with Mike Tyson, the former boxer said he and his co-host smoked $40,000 worth of weed a month.
Yeah, I saw that. Did you see that?
Impossible.
It's impossible, right?
Impossible.
I mean, you'd have to smoke weed 24 hours a day. And I don't even think then you'd go through 40 grand.
I don't know the price of weed, so I looked into it, and it's impossible. I break down the numbers later.
How do you look into that? What else?
I have friends.
You have weather? You got a weather report there, Solana?
Weather is brought to you by Hialeah Park. Right now in Miami, it is 85 degrees and partly cloudy. Feels like 89. Wind is moving east-southeast at 7 miles per hour.
Thank you. The wind is moving where?
East-southeast.
Okay.
Miles per hour, 58% humidity right now.
You flying a kite later on? you kiting later
yeah,
on?
Yeah, well, it sounds like the weather conditions would be appropriate.
There's some sailors that listen to us.
Okay.
Yeah, you can visit hialeahpark.com for more information.
All right, let's get to Rob Pizzola. He is a professional sports gambler. This hour, by the way, brought to you by Toyota of Hollywood. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Rob Pizzola, if you haven't been listening to us for a while, he's a professional sports gambler. He does not pay us to come on. We don't pay him to come on. He doesn't have anything to sell you anyway, but you can follow him on Twitter at Rob Pizzola. He is based in the great nation of Canada. He has told us he absolutely will bet NFL preseason games if he can find an edge. His CFL bets, by the way, speaking of Canada, have been fire. He is 4-0 on CFL picks on this show for this CFL season. I think he's given us one game every week the last four appearances. He is 4-0 last week. He wasn't on the air with us, but we shared with everybody his pick, British Columbia Lions, +10. It was another winner, and he is here right now. Hello, Rob.
Hello, Mark.
How are things in Canada?
They're good. I mean, weather's nice. I've been golfing a little bit, so that's been a plus for me. And football's right around the corner. So, yeah, I mean, this is one of my favorite times of year, for sure.
You gamble on the golf course, I'm imagining?
I do. I play a game called Wolf, which is a pretty good gambling game if you're out there with a foursome. It gets pretty fun because it's a sort of like a partner-type game, and you switch up your teams every hole. So it's highly recommended for me. But, yes, I do enjoy gambling when I'm on the course.
All right, we've got NFL preseason football tonight. Now, what do you think has a bigger gambling market, NFL preseason or CFL regular season?
Oh, for sure, it's NFL preseason. I would actually say that NFL preseason has a bigger gambling market than the Grey Cup, which is the CFL championship. I do believe that. I mean, people are itching to bet football at this time of year. College football right around the corner, obviously. But as soon as NFL comes back, people are really in tune with it. And the CFL just doesn't have much of a market abroad outside of Canada. I know that they tried that expansion into the U.S. a couple decades ago, and it just didn't really work out. So there's not a huge market outside of Canada there. It's NFL preseason dwarfs it.
Is there a huge market for CFL football inside Canada?
Not particularly in the big. So I'm in Toronto, and I would say it's the worst market of all the CFL markets in Canada. But when you go to Western Canada, for sure, it's huge. Over there. They are very, very passionate about their football, but not so much on the East Coast.
All right, let's try to win some money. So there's some NFL preseason games tonight. The nationally televised game is the Cardinals hosting the Raiders. It's on ESPN at 8 o'clock. And this one is very interesting to me because Kyler Murray, obviously, for Arizona, and the Raiders are on Hard Knocks. So anytime the team's on Hard Knocks, you start to get to know the characters. And even if they weren't on Hard Knocks with John Gruden and Antonio Brown, like there's some drama there. So I think a lot of people are going to be watching that game tonight. The line right now is the Arizona Cardinals -3. Do you like a side on that?
So I will say that there's been some money coming in on Oakland this afternoon. So Arizona's now down to a one-point favorite.
Really?
I would agree with the money. Now, this is not a game that I personally bet. I would not advocate betting Oakland at this point. But a couple notes on preseason. We talked about this before. I think where you'll find your edge is obviously with quarterback play. So this is week two of the preseason. You're not going to see the starting quarterbacks for both teams all that long, probably one or two series at most for most of these teams. So you got to start looking into the backups, particularly the backup quarterback. This is when we typically see them play the most in the preseason. And then on top of that, you're going to want to look at coaches, because some coaches care about preseason. Some coaches, they just don't care whatsoever about preseason. Some of them run all sorts of, you know, they don't want to expose their playbook so that other teams have a chance to see that before the regular season. Some coaches, like John Harbaugh, for example, they run preseason games like they are regular season games. So those are the two things to keep an eye on. And the problem for me is Cliff Kingsbury, one of the coaches here in this game, we don't really have much of a sample size on whether he cares about preseason or not. John Gruden, we know. So, I mean, I don't like getting involved in games where there's a little bit of uncertainty. I look at the backup quarterbacks for each team. We have Brett Hundley and we have Mike Glennon. Personally, I give an advantage to Mike Glennon over Brett Hundley, so that's an advantage to Oakland. I can see why money has come in on the Oakland Raiders, but for me, again, I just don't like getting involved on games where there's too much guesswork involved, and I feel like that's one of those games tonight.
Okay. Well, let's look at tomorrow night's Dolphins game for a second here. They play in Tampa. They've had joint practices this week. Right now, Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 3.5-point favorites over the Dolphins.
I like the Dolphins. So, I mean, I don't know what Brian Flores' mentality is going to be on these preseason games, but regardless, they're in a position here where they're going to have a solid backup playing the majority of the game. Now, I don't know if it's Ryan Fitzpatrick starting the game or Josh Rosen starting the game tomorrow, but regardless, one of those guys is going to be the backup and is going to see a lot of action. And when you put that up against who the Bucs are throwing out there, which is going to be Blaine Gabbert as their backup quarterback, I've never been high on Blaine Gabbert. I think he stinks. And Bruce Arians is their head coach, who has never really cared much for preseason games. I don't really see why the Dolphins should be 3.5-point underdogs in this game, so I do like Miami in that game.
Okay, what about the over-under? It's set at 43.
Yeah, I mean, typically, we're starting to see the numbers creep up a little bit more as preseason goes on. I've never been a fan of betting totals in preseason. It's already tough enough to pick a side, but totals for me is just a stay away in preseason.
Okay. Rob Pizzola, he is a professional sports gambler. Miami Hurricanes, they open the college football season August 24th, and now we know that the Canes quarterback is going to be Jaren Williams. We had not known that. I still see the line as Gators -7. Have your thoughts on this game changed at all, knowing that UM is going to start Jaren Williams?
They haven't for me, because I like Miami regardless of who is going to start at quarterback. I mean, for me, the biggest issue in this game for Florida is going to be the turnover on their offensive line. So they lost 4 of their 5 offensive line starters. And, you know, they might recover from that. They've replaced them with some talent, but you tend to see them recover as the season goes on. I think Florida out of the gate might struggle for the first 1 or 2 weeks of the season because of that turnover. So that's the reason I like Miami. You know, it's not really the quarterback position. It's hard for me to compare the Miami quarterbacks, and this is just a problem when you're handicapping college football in general. You have such a small sample size on everyone. I've personally never seen much of Jaren Williams. I've never seen him throw a football before, so I don't even know what I'm handicapping in terms of that. So it kind of removed myself from the equation there. Again, week one, lots of guesswork, but Miami to me, lots of returning starters, lots of talent, big mismatch with their D-line against Florida's O-line. I think 7 points is too much in week one.
Rob, with all these kickoff classics now, speaking of Florida and UM, they're in Orlando. Is there any points given for who's closer to home or anything like that when you're at a neutral site?
Yeah, you always have to factor that into the equation. Neutral site games, I mean, it's hard. So most people just treat neutral site games as if they are that. A neutral site game where no team is going to get home field advantage. There are some studies that show that, you know, the proximity of travel does matter. So we see that a lot of times in bowl games where, yeah, two teams are playing a bowl game at a neutral site, but that site is much closer to one of the two teams than the other. So you know you're going to get a lot more fans from one team than the other. So that has to be factored into the equation. It's not an exact science per se. There's many, many different ways you can do it. And I probably do it very differently from the way that some other college football handicappers would do it. But for this particular game, I do consider it a true neutral game.
Let's handicap this, Crowder. Do you think Rob Pizzola has ever eaten a hot dog out of the fridge without warming it up first or cooking it or whatnot? Yes or no? If you had to gamble on this?
No chance. The mortgage.
No chance. You would bet the mortgage on this.
Open the plastic and eat a hot dog?
Rob Pizzola, have you ever eaten a hot dog out of the fridge without, I don't want to say cooking it because they come cooked in the package. We have learned this. But have you ever eaten a hot dog just straight out of the fridge?
I actually can't even believe I'm being asked this question. Like, I didn't know that this was a thing that people actually.
We found this out yesterday, and this is a thing. A ton of people do this.
Yeah, I know hot dogs are pre-cooked. I do understand that. I have never not boiled a hot dog. Let me just put it that way, or grilled a hot dog. I've always cooked one. I can't imagine. I mean, I'm actually shocked that people do this, but I mean, it kind of does make sense. They are pre-cooked, but just the thought of it to me is extremely gross. No, it's not something.
Yeah, people,
I would,
people
I
say
do.
It's like eating a slice of bologna out of the fridge.
Well, I guess. I mean, it makes logical sense. I think maybe it's more of just a mental trigger that I have with the thought of eating a hot dog like that, just because I've always cooked them, but. No, that's going to be a hard pass for me.
Yeah, me too. Solana doesn't even chew them. Anyway, Rob Pizzola, he is... too easy.
What?
Yeah, no, anyway, I can't even believe I did that.
What happened?
Three random picks now through Sunday. This is where Pizzola brings it strong. Bring it for us.
Okay, football season is upon us now, so I'm going to give out three football plays. We're going to start with NFL tonight, so I brought up with... John Harbaugh.
Wait, what happened there? Because you cut it. That happened when you were picking the Dolphins, too, where it cut out for a second. So who do you have tonight?
Okay, let's restart. Baltimore and Green Bay tonight. John Harbaugh has coached 46 games, preseason games, in his career. His team is 34-12 in those 46 games. He cares a lot about the preseason. That's a 74% win rate. He treats these games like the regular season games. That's who I want to bet on when I'm betting preseason. When I look at the backup quarterback for the Ravens, Robert Griffin III, not outstanding, but certainly capable. He's very similar in style to Lamar Jackson, their starting quarterback. The offense can run a lot of the same plays when he's under center. And when you look at the quarterbacks not named Aaron Rodgers on the Packers, well, you have DeShone Kizer, you have Tim Boyle, who's an undrafted 24-year-old out of Eastern Kentucky. You have Manny Wilkins, who's undrafted out of Arizona State. So I think there's a big edge at quarterback for the Ravens, a big edge in the coaching department in terms of the motivation for this game. I know it's a 3.5-point favorite in preseason, but I do like Baltimore tonight against Green Bay.
Okay, Ravens tonight. What else?
Okay, Saturday CFL. Now,
yeah.
I'm going to... Yeah, I can already hear the excitement. So I'm going to preface this by saying...
Bet the mortgage.
I don't love any CFL games this week.
Except this one.
Nope, I feel pressured to give out a CFL play just because they've been going so well.
Yes.
So this is my favorite of the bunch. I did bet five bets in the CFL this week, but they're all small plays. So I'm just going to let people know there. You know, I'm 4-0 this season on the show, but don't go nuts, please. Just don't go nuts. Ottawa Redblacks, hosting the Hamilton Tiger Cats on Saturday. Hamilton favored about 2.5 points on the road. I'm not sure why they're favored, to be honest. They lost their starting quarterback 3 weeks ago, Jeremiah Masoli. He went down. They've looked less than impressive since then. They lost on the road against Saskatchewan. That was a game where the scoreline looks much closer than it actually was. Last week, they needed a miracle comeback at home to beat BC. That was the game that we were on BC there. I think the downgrade from Masoli to their current quarterback, Dane Evans, is massive, way bigger than people understand. So I'm going to take the Ottawa Redblacks. I'm not even going to take the points. I'm just going to bet them on the money line as an underdog at home. Plus 120 on Saturday.
We like that. And the third random pick, Rob.
Okay, this one's going to be a future for college football. It's one that I like quite a bit. I like the Texas Longhorns under 9 wins this season. And you can get that at plus money. It's about plus 100 right now. I think this is the most overhyped and overvalued college football team that I remember in a long time. In just about every media poll, they're in the top 10 right now. I don't even have them in my top 25 going into this season. Last year, they allowed opponents to get 5.6 yards per play. They only gained 5.5 yards per play. That's a negative yardage differential. They went 10-4, yes, but they were 7-3 in one score games. That's a lot of luck. Over time, you would expect that to regress down to 50-50. But particularly why I don't like Texas this year, they lost both of their starting cornerbacks this year, and they play in the Big 12, where there are some good offenses and tough teams to defend. I don't like their defense at all this year relative to last year. I think this is a team that potentially wins 7 or 8 games. I don't see them getting 9 or 10. I think this is a way overhyped team. So I like Texas Longhorns under 9 wins this year.
Rob Bisola is a professional sports gambler, does not pay us to come on the show. We don't pay him to come on the show. We always just enjoy the conversation. He likes the Dolphins tomorrow night, plus 3.5. He likes the Hurricanes still in the Gators-Hurricanes game, although we'll talk about that again as we get closer. And he likes the Ravens tonight, giving the points in the CFL. Bet the mortgage on Ottawa Moneyline against Hamilton on Saturday night. No, take it easy. And college football under, Texas Longhorns under 9 wins for the season. Thank you, Rob.
All right, thanks, guys. Enjoy the games this week.
He has been on fire. We went a little bit long there, but it was worth it because we made you some money. We'll come right back on Hockey. Oh, wait, you've got something to talk about, don't you?
I know, man.
I was trying to get out of here.
When you're riding down 441 the same way Hawk tried to skip over Delaware, don't do it. Stop right there south of Sterling Road at Delaware Chicken Farm and Seafood Market. There's a 4-foot chicken on the roof. You can't miss it. 441 right south of Sterling Road, guys. Get over there. They have it all. Lamb beef, veal pork, poultry, duck, and turkey, lobster, shrimp, all the crustaceans you need. Oh, what we got?
Sorry, I hate to interrupt you there, but the Marlins have scored, and that means we play a little Baby Shark.
Bottom of the first.
This is why we have a simulcast. All right, Marlins are up 1-0 in the first.
Only trailing 24-3 in the series.
If it was cumulative.
Making a run. But like I was saying about Delaware, all of it. Lamb beef, veal pork, poultry, duck, and turkey. They have lobsters. They have all the crustaceans, the clams, the oysters, the scallops. They have 15 different types of shrimp, 20 different species of fish. Whenever I go fishing and I'm not as lucky as I think I should have been, I'll go to Delaware because I know the fish will be fresh and delicious. Back in the freezer, alligator, frog leg, venison. They have it all, guys. You got to get to Delaware Chicken Farm and Seafood Market. Florida lobster season just started. August 6th, it started, and the most fresh lobster tails and the best prices are going to be at Delaware, and the prices at Delaware are amazing. Stuffed crab shells, only $3.99 each. Argentinian red shrimp, only $11.99 a pound. Conch fritters are 4 for $2.49, and they're delicious. Go to DelawareChicken.com. The entire menu is there. I've told you about 20, 30% of what they have. They have so much, guys. Go to DelawareChicken.com to see exactly what you want, and call them in advance at 954-983-6831. That's 954-983-6831. 954-983-6831 to have your order packaged already. When you get your when you get there, saving you time, they're going to save you money, they're going to give you a great selection. It's Delaware Chicken Farm and Seafood Market, 441 one block south of Sterling Road. And when y'all get down there, tell them Crowder sent you.
Now we're going to take that break I was talking about, and we'll come back quickly on Hockman and Crowder. You having a seizure, or are you singing the song?
I didn't know my mic was on.
The simulcast, Hockman and Crowder, happening. Now, if you missed our loco hour in the 2 o'clock hour, we stumbled into a little Ryan Tannehill disagreement. And just to let people understand what we were talking about, there was a headline. I happened to see it on the internet yesterday, and so I bookmarked it, and then I read it because it was interesting to me, because the headline was Marcus Mariota not a lock to start for the Tennessee Titans week one, and that would mean Ryan Tannehill would have outplayed him enough in preseason and practice to win the starting job, which, by the way, you could see happening. I mean, it doesn't seem that far-fetched.
No.
But then we started talking about Ryan Tannehill's tenure here with the Dolphins, and there is a disconnect between me and Crowder, and part of it is word play here, because someone tweeted at me, because I said, and it took us a longer time to get to this place, but I essentially said to Crowder, was Ryan Tannehill a success or failure? And I'm not leaving any room for gray area.
Yeah.
I'm not saying give him a letter grade. I'm saying was his time here a success or a failure? And Crowder says it's a success.
Yep.
Because it can't be a failure. You're kind of doing it by exclusion.
You had one of the best 25 quarterbacks in the world for 7 years. Can people argue that? Like, do you have a problem with that statement?
I wouldn't even say
top 25. I say you've had one of the 20 to 25th best quarterbacks in the world. I'll take out the top 20. Can you agree with that?
I mean, I guess.
So you're not. It's not a failure.
Well, no, that's not true.
A failure? What'd you see, Hawk?
It's,
think about what the boy's name they used to, Bortles. Like Bortles, Jamarcus Russell. Like, those are failures.
Like, but Ryan Tannehill, so what did we find out he was picked? Eighth? Because we had a disagreement on that. It was eighth.
Yeah, eight.
If you're picked eighth, first round quarterback picked eighth, you have to, what'd you say, Solana? Multiple playoff appearances?
Yeah, if you're top 10 pick, first round quarterback.
Quarterback.
Franchise changer, I'd say you have to at least be.
See, now you're adding all this franchise changer crap.
But
you have to change the franchise?
Yes, if you are.
If you're picked top 10, you have to change the franchise.
Quarterback.
If you're
a quarterback.
And if that doesn't happen, you're a failure?
Absolutely.
Bro, that's y'all's bar?
Isn't it?
That's the bar.
Bro, if you take a quarterback
multiple playoff appearances
in the first 10 picks to take a quarterback and end up with 7 years of 500 football and no playoff wins, that's a failure. I'm sorry. No, he's right. If you take, I used the John Beck example earlier in the show. If you take John Beck in the second round and he works out to be something great, he's great. If he doesn't work out to be much, that's fine. It was a second-round pick. You take a quarterback in the top 10, he's got to be a franchise changer. Absolutely. I think he's right on that.
So if you take a quarterback in top 10, it is multiple playoff appearances or failure. Just let me know, because I need to know y'all's standards so I can debate with y'all correctly.
Yes.
I'm going to look into this. There's no way that's the bar that has to be set. Like, what about guys that are on terrible teams? What about guys? Because if you get picked in the top three or four, you're on a garbage ass team.
Right. And in a couple years, you should be better.
They have to turn it around to multiple playoff appearances.
Sure.
That's what the bar is set at.
A top 10
pick
quarterback?
What about the Kirk Cousins and those guys that get picked high and then go to a team that's not good and then get traded? They're failures?
Kirk Cousins went to playoff games.
I'm just saying, but they're on that team. When you go to a bad team, Kyler Murray right now, if they don't go to the playoffs, he's a failure this year.
No, not at all.
So when does he become a failure? I need to know y'all's precedent, because
I'll
what y'all
five,
are saying is
five
crazy.
Years.
So 5 years.
Yes.
So Tannehill was a 2-year failure because you give him 5 years of bumper?
No. Then you
like,
look back at the entirety
now.
Of the career. No, I'm giving you the exact parameters that you're asking for. I'm giving you the exact parameters.
So you give a top 10 quarterback 5 years to make multiple playoffs, because Tannehill made one playoff.
in that time, in the fifth year.
It was in your five-year window.
Right.
He was in your five-year window, Hart. Right. Do you have a five-year window? Like, just listen now. Listen what your parameters are before you start saying this man is ridiculous.
So you're looking at Ryan Tannehill's tenure with the Miami Dolphins saying that was an unmitigated success.
Listen, now you want to say failure success with nothing in the middle, which we're doing.
Right.
I would say if you ask me, was Tannehill a failure or a success? Tannehill was a success. Was he an A-plus or A-minus or an A? No. Was he a B-minus, C-plus? Hell yeah, Tannehill was a B-minus, C-plus. Come on now.
B-minus, to me, in the NFL, is like wild card. You get to the wild card
you're
once, you lose.
You're talking about a top 10 pick. You're talking about a top 10 quarterback
12
pick.
12 out of 32 teams go to the playoffs? Do y'all understand the numbers of
this? When you take a quarterback in the first 10 picks.
So was Tebow a success?
No.
He went to the playoffs.
Understood. But no, that was longevity.
If you leave, if you go to the playoffs, you're a success.
That's not true. We talked about longevity.
Yes. And Tannehill had plenty of longevity.
That's right.
So who's more successful, Tebow or Tannehill?
To be quite honest, neither of them were successful in the
NFL.
But
who's more successful? Because what's a precedent? Is it longevity or is it just playoff appearances? Y'all say playoff appearances show success.
Well, that's certainly the defining factor.
I can look up a bunch of Aaron Rodgers didn't go to the playoffs last year. Is he garbage now?
But
you know what I'm saying?
If you're going to set it at playoffs,
let's see, there are other things than going to the playoffs or not going to the playoffs.
No. Understand what I'm saying. I'm not talking about you have to go to the playoffs every year. If you have multiple playoff appearances in your career, I'm not looking. Yeah, no one's going to look at Aaron Rodgers last season and go, he's not a success. We're talking about in the career, did you lead your team to multiple playoff appearances? If you're a top 10 pick quarterback, that seems like a pretty easy place to begin to figure out whether that person was a success or not. Like if you're a top 10 quarterback picked in the draft, that's a pretty easy standard, I think, to go, did he take you to the playoffs several times?
Mark Sanchez went to back-to-back AFC championship games. He is a unmitigated success. Mark Sanchez is a quarterback success.
He was a success for New York for a time being.
So Mark Sanchez is a success. Now, I understand what I'm doing. I'm finding loopholes in y'all's argument.
Well, but who had a better career for the team that they were picked for?
Tannehill.
Mark Sanchez or Ryan Tannehill for the Dolphins?
Tannehill's a better quarterback than Mark Sanchez.
That's not the question.
That's not the question. Yes.
Who had a better career for the team that picked them, Mark Sanchez or Ryan Tannehill?
Ryan Tannehill is a better quarterback than Mark Sanchez.
That's not the question. I keep telling you that's not the question.
Okay, because Mark Sanchez had an awesome defense and a great running game.
Now you're giving it context.
I know, so you don't want context?
No.
Okay, well, let's give it. Mark Sanchez went to back-to-back AFC championship games. That means he has to be better than a number of quarterbacks in this league.
Well,
if you don't want context.
But I'm talking about top 10 quarterbacks that were picked in a draft.
Where did Mark Sanchez go?
You tell me. I don't know.
I'll look it up. I believe Mark Sanchez was a very high pick.
Right. So I'm only going to compare him to top 10 picked quarterbacks.
Okay.
That I got to tell you.
Sanchez is a success.
Yeah. And back-to-back AFC championship games.
Number five. He went higher than Tannehill.
Right.
Mark Sanchez is a successful quarterback.
They picked a quarterback. They picked a quarterback in the first 10 picks, and they went to two straight AFC championship games?
In despite of him.
Well, he's out the league now. But that's very convenient for your argument.
I'm saying if Tannehill was on that team, Tannehill could not have taken those Jets teams to the AFC championship game.
But you understand what you're doing there. You're saying Ryan Tannehill didn't make the playoffs because of those that were around him.
And Sanchez, Mark Sanchez made the playoffs because of him?
Because of those that are – but it's just convenient
for
your argument.
Why is Sanchez out of the NFL and Tannehill's about to start for the Titans?
Because the question isn't who's a better NFL quarterback. It's who was a better success for their team as a top 10 quarterback picked. And Mark Sanchez was for the Jets.
I have a problem with saying Sanchez is a success and Tannehill's a failure. With what I've watched out of those two guys.
Well, I have a problem with that. I wouldn't say that either of them are No.
With what Solana said about multiple playoff appearances,
but he did.
Sanchez gave Solana all he needs to say Mark Sanchez is a great quarterback.
But it's not.
That's all you said. No. Don't move it, Solana. You said I need to see multiple playoff appearances. He gave you exactly what you wanted. Let's give Mark Sanchez $100 million.
Let's give it to him. No, because what Hawk is saying is true. In their respective careers for their organizations that drafted them high, Mark Sanchez had a better career than Ryan Tannehill did with the Dolphins.
It's almost inarguable.
Right, success.
I don't understand. You could look at two straight AFC championship appearances mm-hmm. and say the quarterback that led the team to no playoff victories in 7 years was better for his team than the quarterback that led his team to two AFC championship appearances?
The quarterback that always throws under 60% completion, the quarterback that one of those years had 17 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, that quarterback was winning despite him, not because of him.
Okay, fine. But
you know what I'm saying?
But you're saying, without question, the quarterback that led his team to two AFC championship
appearances. He did not lead his team.
Was he the quarterback?
He was a part of the team.
Was he a quarterback? Ryan Tannehill went to no playoff victories, and in the one playoff game that maybe he got them there, and he didn't even play. Like, it's not – I mean, that seems crazy to say that Tannehill had a better career for the Dolphins than Sanchez did for the Jets.
Tanny had one winning season with the Dolphins. It's the year that they went to the playoffs, and he didn't start for the last, what, six games, five games?
So Sanchez is a better quarterback?
No, that's not what we're saying.
Okay. Let me put it the way y'all want to put it. Mm-hmm. Okay, I got y'all. Sanchez is a more successful quarterback than Tannehill.
Well, that's unquestionable.
And y'all are going to ride with that statement?
You're saying that Ryan Tannehill is more successful. Okay, but that's one play. But you're saying Ryan Tannehill.
He didn't even start after that.
But you're
he
saying.
He leaves the Jets, Hawk. And no team trusts him to start the rest of his career after two AFC championship runs.
Okay, but
what does that say about y'all's assessment of success as a quarterback?
And what does it say about Ryan Tannehill? He didn't get a starting job anywhere in the NFL.
He's about to steal the starting job right now from Mariota. That's the story. That's what started this debate.
So you're saying that Ryan Tannehill has been a more successful NFL quarterback than Mark Sanchez?
Yes. Yes. Mark Sanchez right now.
Not talking about right now.
Mark Sanchez, from the time he stepped in the NFL, has only completed 56% of his passes.
He's gone to two AFC championship games.
I can do those numbers. Mark Sanchez's numbers, I can do at quarterback.
I think you're off on this one. I just think you're off on this one because, to me, like, a real easy line to figure out success or not is playoff appearances. And Ryan Tannehill's had none. None.
You have to put that on what he's around and everything else. Just to say, like, and we started by saying success or failure. There's no context. There's no middle ground. But the way y'all defend Sanchez is crazy.
I'm not defending Sanchez because I wouldn't take him over just about anybody. But if you said to me, I have to pick one, which one has had the more successful NFL career, Mark Sanchez or Ryan Tannehill? You're looking at it in a vacuum.
Yes.
We're not talking about who's a great quarterback or not. You're saying just head-to-head, which one had a better successful NFL career? I'm going to go with the guy who had two AFC championship appearances versus the guy who doesn't have a single playoff victory or appearance in seven seasons.
So we take out accuracy, we take out completion percentage,
yes,
we take out touchdown to interception ratio,
yep,
we take out all of those numbers per game, yards per game, we take out everything that quarterbacks are evaluated on,
yep,
and look at playoff appearances,
yep,
and then we judge success or failure off that.
Mark Sanchez.
Y'all are 100% right. If you take out all the analytic information that people use, let's take Mark Sanchez over Tannehill. I want him.
Who's the better NFL quarterback? Mark Sanchez or player A has six playoff starts. Six playoff starts in his career. Or quarterback B in seven seasons, zero playoff starts.
And that's what you want to judge it off of? Okay, Sanchez is better than Tannehill.
Okay.
That is ridiculous. You know it, and you know it. Both of y'all
are
ridiculous.
It's not, bro. When I get a quarterback on my team.
60%? Thousand yards in six games, Hawk? The man's going 150 yards a game. 150 yards a game, Hawk? I can pee 150 yards a game.
Mark Sanchez is 4-2 in his NFL playoff career. Playoff career. Ryan Tannehill in seven seasons. 0-0.
150 yards a game.
Four and two.
Those games were on his shoulder.
It doesn't matter, though. A guy with four playoff appearances.
It doesn't matter.
Okay, so discount every category except that one because fortifies your argument?
No. All you want to say is playoff appearances are more important.
No, but you don't want to give context to any of the other categories.
Okay, so do you like completion percentage? Or do you like yards?
No,
or do you like touchdown interception ratio?
I like playoff appearances and playoff victories.
I'm telling you
that's what I like. Absolutely.
Mark Sanchez is better than most quarterbacks in the history of the NFL then. to be honest, if you want to put it that way.
But it's not
his
better.
His first 3 years, Mark Sanchez is a more efficient, graded, successful quarterback than I would say. Brett Favre didn't go to 6 playoff appearances in his first year. Aaron Rodgers didn't go to 6 playoff games.
But we're not talking about what you thought someone would be afterwards.
No,
like, we know Brett Favre is a better quarterback than him. We know Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback than him.
To y'all's argument of Sanchez being great because his playoff appearances.
No one says that he's great. No, see, that's what you're doing.
That's
what you're trying to do. No,
he's successful.
No, you are trying to say. You are asking who's more successful, Mark Sanchez or Ryan Tannehill. That's all you're asking.
Yes.
And then you keep trying to change the parameters of the argument to make it sound crazier. I'm telling you, versus head-to-head, Sanchez, Tannehill. One is 4-2 in the playoffs with 6 playoff starts. One has never played in a playoff game in 7 seasons.
And that's all you're going to look at?
Yep.
Sanchez is better.
Thank you.
Why is he out of the league right now? Tannehill's about to start for the Titans.
That's a Titans mistake.
I bet it is. So 32 teams have made a mistake by not signing Mark Sanchez.
No, you know the Dolphins made a mistake by
Mark
keeping
Sanchez
him for 7 seasons. The Dolphins made a mistake.
But why is this super successful
Jets,
Mark Sanchez not in the league?
You keep calling it a super success, and I keep telling you, you're trying to make it sound crazier, and I keep telling you, you are solely talking about two guys head-to-head.
Yes.
And then you want to try to broaden the scope by saying,
so why is he a super success.
So
why is one guy now about to win the starting job and one guy sitting at home with his family?
Who is smarter?
Why is one guy? No. I'll answer yours after you answer mine. Why is one guy right now fighting for the starting position in Tennessee and one guy sitting at home with his wife and kids?
Well, I would tell you, A, because you've seen more out of Mark Sanchez from more teams. Plenty of teams took a shot at Mark Sanchez, right? Went to the Eagles, the Broncos, the Cowboys, the Bears, the Redskins. So it's not like after the Jets said we're done with him, no one took a chance, okay? Ryan Tannehill, we'll see how many teams he ends up with. Secondly,
they got in the league 1 year apart.
Secondly,
Tannehill's
played
3 years.
Three years
apart.
Tannehill's played more games than Mark Sanchez.
3 years
Look
apart.
That number up. Has Tannehill played more games?
But that doesn't make
Tannehill
it good.
Tannehill played more games
you
than Mark Sanchez.
You know what that is, though? You're proving that the Dolphins made a mistake and the Jets didn't. The Dolphins keeping him for 7 years and playing him as many games as he did just shows you their ineptitude. It doesn't prove that Ryan Tannehill's a better quarterback. It shows you the Dolphins wasted everyone's time.
It proves that Sanchez jumped in a great situation and they carried his sorry ass to 2 NFC championship games.
How does that
prove?
The number of games Ryan Tannehill played proves that? Like, it's so obvious. Like,
it's so obvious that Tannehill's a better football player than Mark Sanchez.
Okay.
But you're saying Sanchez is more successful, even though you can admit Tannehill's better at quarterback than him.
Yes.
So now you're finding a loophole to say playoff games are more important than the other 95 numbers that we can look at on this damn computer screen right now. He announced his retirement July of this year. Nobody wants Sanchez's ass to lead anything.
But that's not the question. Like, are you saying the Dolphins were smart to keep Ryan Tannehill for 7 seasons?
No.
And the Jets were dumb to let Mark Sanchez go after 4?
I'm saying that he is not a success.
No one's saying he is. You keep saying who was more successful.
You just told me he's successful.
No, you said more successful, Ryan Tannehill or Mark Sanchez.
Okay.
You keep changing the argument. You
are changing the argument.
No,
you know good and damn well Tannehill's a better football player than Mark Sanchez.
No.
When they were 8, when they were 10, when they were 28, when they're 38, when they're 88.
Would you acknowledge that there are people that are better singers than someone that may have sold more albums?
No.
No?
Why wouldn't they sell albums? Why wouldn't they sell albums?
So you're saying Adele may not be as good a singer as Los Del Rio because they've sold 100 million copies of Macarena and Adele has only sold 40 million copies. So
that's not a singer. That's a pop song.
Okay, but you understand what I'm saying. Like, you could be very good at something
Adele
and not
and
as successful as someone.
But it's a different – you're moving the needle now, too. They're both NFL quarterbacks.
Right.
We can look at efficiency. We can look at yards per game. We can look at touchdown interception ratio. Adele and Los Del Rio, we don't have even numbers for them. We have even numbers for Sanchez and Tannehill.
One can be better while the other one had more success. They're not mutually exclusive. And that's all I'm telling you. Yes, Ryan Tannehill's a better quarterback than Mark Sanchez. Mark Sanchez has had more success than Ryan Tannehill. That part's inarguable.
And it's a team sport. Singing is by yourself standing on a mic.
Oh, make it groups. Like, do it, make it groups. I'm telling you, there are plenty of people that may be better at something that have not found the success someone else has found. Mark Sanchez has had success as an NFL quarterback. Ryan Tannehill is not. He hasn't.
Success.
Yet. Two AFC championship games. So he didn't have success?
Bro, he was the problem on those teams. You know what? If there was another quarterback at the Jets at that time, they would have went to the Super Bowl.
And if my uncle...
He was the problem of those teams. The successful problem. The successful problem. Think about that phrase.
I think you see the folly in your
the
argument.
The successful problem.
I think you see the folly in your argument.
Think about that phrase.
We got to take a break. We went very long. I don't even know what we're going to do about the clocks here. Dan Day, do you have a suggestion about what we're going to do here? He doesn't know.
I got it covered, Hawk. Don't worry.
How are you going to cover this?
I don't know.
All right. A quick break, and we come back on Hockman and Crowder. Somebody text in. This is the most perfect text. And you can text the show whenever you want, 67974. Text on Hawk and Crowder. Driven by Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota. This month, all new Toyotas are at clearance prices with 0% APR financing for 75 months on select models. This text is perfect. The last segment was the epitome of Dolphins versus Jets fans conversations, which loser sucks the least. And that's 100% true, because we're arguing who was better, two quarterbacks that are terrible. Sorry, champion of the Ryan Tannehill fan club over here. Two terrible quarterbacks. One of them, Mark Sanchez, has found great success in the NFL. The other, Ryan Tannehill, has not.
It's found great success.
Great success, yes. Okay. 6 playoff appearances, 4-2 playoff record, and 2 AFC championship appearances. He just had more success than Ryan Tannehill.
Let's open a Hall of Success instead of a Hall of Fame. Because don't worry about how good a player is. Let's just go. Is Terry Bradshaw better than Dan Marino?
Well,
is Eli Manning better than Dan Marino?
Again, that's
Terry
not,
has four. Super. No. But you're going postseason. Let's go postseason. Terry Bradshaw has 4 Super Bowl rings.
Mm-hmm.
Is he better than? Are you more successful than those other quarterbacks that we talk about?
Successful?
Yes.
Yes.
Eli Manning is more successful than Dan Marino.
The absolute basis
Eli
for
Manning,
success.
Eli Manning is just as successful as his brother because they both
successful?
Have 2 rings.
Yes.
Now that you say that, now it's clear.
But you're mistaking better.
Now it's clear.
You're mistaking better than successful. Like that song we just heard, Los Del Rio, Macarena, they are unbelievably successful. They have made millions of dollars off that song. It doesn't mean they're great, but they are successful. The Baby Shark song is not great. It's not lyrically brilliant, but it is successful. Like that's you're arguing two separate things, or you're making one thing equal another, and it doesn't.
You're putting talent and ability and your I guess ranking at your position behind success.
I'm not ranking them at their position.
Success.
I am ranking two guys.
Success.
Sanchez and Tannehill.
If you want to take that aside, then yes. Terry Bradshaw is right behind Tom Brady in success of a quarterback.
Right.
Do you understand that?
Yes, success.
Are you okay jumping on the bandwagon that Terry Bradshaw is the second most successful quarterback behind Tom Brady?
Yes. It's inarguable.
And if you're jumping on that bandwagon, then the argument is dead because that's a ridiculous place to be. Terry Bradshaw right behind Tom Brady.
Well, how do you measure success in the NFL? Like, what's the ultimate arbiter of success?
I look at numbers.
I'm not asking who's
efficiency.
Good. I'm not asking
I look
who's
at touchdown
better.
To interception ratio.
But again, how do you measure success?
How good you are at your job, Hawk.
No, that's not true at all. I mean, plenty of people have been good at their jobs
and
that didn't.
Not successful.
That's right. Absolutely.
Come on, man.
Absolutely. You've never heard a great radio host that's languishing somewhere because he does not have whatever kind of break someone else got. There's people that are very good at what they do. Like, there are people that are unbelievably successful when it comes to money, but they're not brilliant at their job. They just happen to be successful in a moment in time. But you're confusing excellence. You're confusing excellence with success, and they're not mutually exclusive. They're not analogous.
No. Like, and you think like the Macarena or those people, like they're successful. I think they're Tim Tebow. They're flash in the pan. Baby Shark's not going to be big before a second. Baby Shark has no staying power. We're not listening to Baby Shark when my kids have kids.
But we're not talking about staying power either. Mark Sanchez didn't have that.
We will be talking about Tom Brady until the day we die.
No question.
Because he's awesome at his job.
No question.
He's amazing at his job.
No one's arguing.
So, are we talking about right now success? I talk about success as a player's career, not a 1 year, 3 game run and all that stuff. Success at your job, not a success per year.
Right. And Ryan Tannehill's had none.
And less successful than Sanchez.
Yeah, I mean, none. Yeah, okay. He's never played in a playoff game.
Terry Bradshaw has played in 4 Super Bowls and won them all.
Yeah, you don't think that was a successful NFL career?
Terry Bradshaw is not a top 20 quarterback.
But that's not the question. Has Terry Bradshaw had a successful NFL career?
No!
Terry Bradshaw did not have a successful NFL career?
Can you compare him to the other quarterbacks I've watched play? He is not successful. You want numbers. Okay.
He's not successful. He's got 4 Super Bowl rings.
All we go off is playoff appearances, right? That's all you go off of?
No.
No. Hell no. Just playoff appearances.
But I just told you no. That's not all I go off of.
What's success? Because that's how you and Solana started this.
No, you said what are part of the parameters.
What is success? Playoffs. That's all you want?
I just said to you 4 seconds ago, no.
What?
I'd like to see longevity. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see playoff success. I'd like to see postseason success.
Playoffs and postseason are the same thing.
I'd like to see Pro Bowl appearances. I'd like to see all pro. I'd like to see a myriad of things, of which Ryan Tannehill, by the way, has none.
And Mark Sanchez is better at that.
I mean, he's got more of those things.
I got you.
Doesn't he? 6 playoff appearances, not better than none?
Yeah, 150 yards per game.
No, again.
Yeah.
But you're trying to couch in your favor.
And I'm not couching in my favor.
Let me ask you something.
I'm not couching
in
anything.
Is 6 playoff appearances more successful than none?
Come on now.
Is it?
No, it's not.
Yes,
we know it is.
Okay. Well, I mean, okay, there's a parameter. So he would get the hash mark in that. It's not a parameter at all for you?
No.
No, so playoff appearances mean nothing when it comes to success, doing something in it.
When I ask about offensive linemen, do you say how many playoff appearances has he been to? Do you do that?
Say that again.
When I ask about linemen or running backs or receivers, do you put playoff appearances with their success?
No, or do you do numbers? But you're mistaking it again. We are specifically talking about top 10 quarterback picks in the draft. That's all we were talking about.
So all the other top 10 players that get drafted, their playoff appearances mean nothing. It's only quarterbacks.
Quarterbacks, yes.
That's it.
Yes.
So now that's already a flawed argument.
Why?
Only the quarterback has to do with going to the playoff. Only the quarterback is assessed on playoff appearances.
Isn't the quarterback the most important top 10 pick that you can make?
And the second most important is cornerback, left tackle, and pass rusher.
But I'm not talking about the second most important.
When does that fall off? When does the assessment of playoff appearances fall off? After quarterback, it goes to nothing?
No, but see, this is.
I'm just saying, after quarterback, playoff appearances, that's when it ends.
But that's what you try to do with arguments.
Joe Thomas has never been to a playoff.
You try to go to the farthest and the other side. So no
Joe
one
Thomas,
said
the left tackle for the Browns mm-hmm. has never been to the playoffs in his career.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a successful left tackle.
No, not at all.
Okay.
No, I'm saying not at all. Like, not at all. He's not a success.
But
like,
why he has
of
no
course
he has
he's
no
a success.
Playoff appearances though, Hawk.
But I just told
so
you,
he
like,
couldn't be.
How many,
so it's
how many
just
left tackles? How many left tackles have led their team to the playoffs?
A bunch of them.
Really?
Jonathan Ogden?
He was
You're
the key.
You're talking about them.
He
Anthony
was the key.
Munoz?
The left tackle
Bro,
was the key.
If those Ravens teams don't have J.O., you think they're going to the playoffs like that?
But he's the most important. So
why
many,
do they get paid so
can you,
much?
Can
it
you find
matter?
Out, Solana, look out how many NFL MVPs have been left tackles and how many Super Bowl MVPs have been left tackles. Because obviously that is the most important position.
But we don't need one then because it doesn't matter.
That's not what I said, though.
But so you're saying Jonathan Ogden had nothing to do with those Ravens Super Bowl
Didn't
runs.
Say that at all.
It wasn't important.
Didn't say that at all.
So what does he have to do with those Super Bowl runs?
I mean, it's a huge part of it.
A gigantic part. But you don't want to put his success on playoff appearances.
Because I wouldn't put a left tackle success on playoff appearances, no.
And no guards. No centers, no linebackers, no DBs, no receivers, no running backs. Nobody else than quarterback gets judged off their playoff appearances.
Nobody else gets judged. Well, quarterbacks will get judged the most on playoff appearances. You wouldn't agree with that?
But that's it. No. The most, yes. But I'm saying.
Okay, but that's all we're talking about.
So what about Joe Thomas? He's a Hall of Famer. He first ballot.
Right.
Zero.
Right.
Playoff success.
Right.
He's not successful, but he's going to the Hall of Fame.
Didn't say that.
He can't be successful with your assessment of playoffs making people's season successful.
But I just told you, it only is regarding quarterbacks. That's
and
all
that's
we're talking
where
about.
Your argument is flawed that you can't take 21 positions out of this argument and say it's only the quarterback
but
that's judged
on success. But if we're only talking
on
about the quarterback,
no,
then we're only talking about the quarterback.
This isn't golf.
What?
This isn't majors. This isn't a golf with his majors. This is a football team with 22 positions, Hawk.
I don't understand what
you're
saying.
I know.
At this
just
point.
Say clean your draws.
Change
your draws.
Like the text pretty much says, Crowder, you lost this one the moment you said Terry Bradshaw is not
reading.
A success. Terry Bradshaw is not a success. I mean, come on.
There you go. Read what you want. Read these other ones what you want.
You don't read that?
Read the other ones what you want. Read the ones. Find the ones you want.
I see everyone here going, what is Crowder talking about at
yep.
this point?
read the other ones you want.
But you do.
Hawk, change your draws.
Because Terry Bradshaw
no,
was not a success in the NFL?
Because you got
me on that
you just
one.
Got your ass whooped in this
I did?
Argument. Change your draws, man. Buckle your belt back up.
So,
just, yeah.
But you do own that comment, though, right? That Terry Bradshaw is not an NFL success? You own that comment, right?
And if you own the comment, Joe Thomas is not a successful.
I never said that.
You said he couldn't be.
I never said that.
Because he didn't go to the playoffs.
I didn't say that.
Hawk!
I didn't say that. I kept saying
so
to
only,
you.
Oh, only quarterback. Only quarterback's playoff appearances count.
I judge a quarterback on playoff appearances.
And
I don't judge a left tackle on playoff appearances.
But no other positions.
But you're, I mean,
no,
what
no,
are
no,
you
no.
Try-
what, name a position other than quarterback you judge off their playoff appearances.
I don't think I would.
So quarterback, that's it.
Yeah, I think I've been pretty clear about that.
Playoff appearances, 22 positions on offensive defense, including the kicker. I'm talking about 25 positions. You're only judging the quarterback off playoff appearances. That's his success
I
or
would
failure.
Use the
That's
most,
his success or failure.
I would use the most mitigate. I would use the most important data when it comes to any position on the field for playoff appearances would be the quarterback. Right?
Mm-hmm. I totally disagree.
So who would be most important to a playoff
no,
run?
No. Most important, the quarterback. That's why he gets paid the most. But left tackle, corner, and all those guys. Okay. It's okay.
I think that's what I said.
For you to say the only position judged off playoff success is the quarterback.
Somebody says this has to be a character Channing
that
is playing.
Kills,
is this
that
a character?
Kills everything.
Are you playing a
I'm
character?
I'm with Crowder. Crowder is right. I think Crowder's messing
Goddamn
with y'all.
Goddamn
Crowder,
you
quarterback's
dumb
only
boy.
Position judged. I can read the ones that back yeah. me, but you choose to read the ones that
okay.
back you.
Well, I think you're looking at your phone then, and you're getting
I'm looking
text
at this
big-ass
white text.
I'm not so certain, man. Crowder lost this one. Hawk owned him in this argument.
Change your draw.
Also, it's Hawk's opinion, so it's fact. What are we doing with the clocks, Dan? Do we have any idea what's happening here? Solana, do you have an idea here? It's 4:04.
I'm very nervous.
About?
I don't know.
Okay, so is Omar Kelly going to join us next, do you think?
Yes.
Dan, you think Omar? He doesn't know. All right, listen, stick with whatever you want to stick with, Crowder, but move off the Terry Bradshaw was not a success argument. Just I'm going to give you a mulligan on that one. I'm never going to bring that one up again.
How many quarterbacks would you pick over Terry Bradshaw
to
start for your team?
Probably 100.
700.
I'm no question, but he was a success in the NFL. all right. We find common ground there. Okay. Maybe Omar Kelly's next. I don't know what happened. We got into a heated argument over something absolutely ridiculous, which is who's a more successful quarterback, Ryan Tannehill or Mark Sanchez, and both of them are terrible. This is the craziness of this argument.
Bingo. Bingo.
But you would admit that Mark Sanchez
I'm not admitting nothing.
All right, quick break. We come back on Hockman and Crowder.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.